This is The Record from KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman. Our nation's gross domestic product is down almost 3%. That's according to new numbers from the U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis. How bad is that? Seattle Times business columnist John Talton's here with the 411. Hello, John.
Hi, Marcy. One quarter does not a trend make. If we have two quarters that way, then technically, by many measures, we would be in a recession. There was a very bad winter in much of the country. That can account for a lot of that. On the other hand, GDP doesn't necessarily translate into national well-being.
Well, let's take a step back, because I actually had to look it up. The gross domestic product is the market value of the goods and services that a country makes?
Right.
So what does it tell us about our economy?
Well, it stood the test of time as a measure of kind of national economic power or lack thereof. So we have the largest GDP in the world. We have the largest GDP per person in the world, but that includes me and Bill Gates.
You're averaged out, right?
Yeah, averaged out. So GDP is real, but it takes on this mystique so that if GDP is way up, well, it's the president's genius that caused that. And if GDP falls, well, it's the president's fault. And GDP is very limited in what it actually tells us about how average people are doing.
One analyst from the liberal-leaning Research and Policy Center, Demos, wrote in an op-ed that was published on Al Jazeera that too much importance is tied to the GDP and it doesn't accurately measure our economic health. So what would accurately measure our economic health?
There are some gold standard measures out there. One is the United Nations Human Development Index. You can look it up on the tubes, as Senator Ted Stevens said. There is another one from the Economist Intelligence Unit. Per capita income and growth thereof is always a good measure. So are wages. So wages have been flat, or actually in 2012 fell for most Americans. There is not one metric, and we probably assign too much importance to GDP. But I will say for the second quarter, we need to pay close attention to what happens.
And does that go through September? Is that the second quarter?
That'll take us through June 30th.
June 30th. We're talking to Seattle Times business columnist John Talton. From GDP and big numbers to home in Seattle, it's probably no secret to a lot of our listeners that Delta Airlines is expanding its SeaTac airport hub, and it's put that airline, that big mega airline, directly in competition with Alaska, local grown Alaska Airlines, and the Wall Street Journal calls it the industry's nastiest turf war in years. Really?
Yes, really. And Delta and Alaska had been, and still are, but I believe, partners in code sharing. But Delta has moved in here and is competing directly on routes with Alaska. The federal government, by not enforcing antitrust, has allowed us to have this cartel of a big four airlines plus Alaska and then a few little ones. It's so important that we keep Alaska here, both for choice for customers, but also having a headquarters here.
Why is Delta so interested in Seattle?
Well, it sees a place where it can muscle its way in. I can't look into the heart of Delta's CEO, but it sees a place where it can muscle its way in and maybe take down Alaska and gain those routes and lay off a bunch of people so that its stock price rises, and then the cartel is even more strengthened.
You mentioned the big four. Who are the other three?
Well, Southwest, and then United, which gobbled up Continental, and American. And which then gobbled up U.S. Airways, so, or vice versa.
So does this mean that Alaska Airlines' future is in jeopardy?
They would deny that, and I take them at their word. I think they want to stay independent, but Wall Street is very greedy for these kinds of mergers. These mergers make big money for the street. Alaska is a publicly held company, and so even hostile takeovers, the management may not have a say in it.
Now, I know Delta really is doing a lot of Asian travel. That's not Alaska's forte. Where are they specifically overlapping in service?
Up and down the West Coast, for one thing. But even with the Asian service, some of this is replacing other international routes that went away. But in addition to that, all you have to do is call up Delta's route map, and you see that it does most of its international travel out of Los Angeles, and its western hub is in Salt Lake City. It's not going to move that here.
Well, so, John, the common wisdom is that competition is supposed to help the consumer. Does this turf battle help me, the person who wants to buy a plane ticket?
It does in the short term because, again, Delta can just take the losses and match Alaska's fares and even drive down fares. And it has deeper pockets than Alaska has. In the long run, you see around the country, as these airlines have consolidated, ticket prices have gone up. These hubs that were built with public money, like Cincinnati, have been eliminated by Delta. And with that, thousands of jobs and major public investment. And so Cincinnati, this major corporate center, Procter & Gamble, companies like that, has lost hundreds of routes. And that directly affects that local economy.
John Talton's a business columnist for the Seattle Times and a regular guest on The Record. Thanks for coming in today, John.
Thank you, Marcy.